I've been thinking a lot about President Trump, his last 4 years, what that means for him, what has transpired over the last 4 years, what his legacy will be. I don't think it's over quite yet. But one of the things that I keep coming back to is the vitriol that he received over the last 4 years. You think about it, I kind of forgot about a lot of the insults that people threw at him. Do you remember people were talking about how he was a puppet for Russia? People were talking about how he was a germaphobe. They made all these horrible allegations about his personal life in the Steele dossier. People implied that he had a weird fixation with his daughter. People called him an anti-Semite, even though his daughter is Jewish and his son-in-law is Jewish and his grandchildren are Jewish. People to the worst possible things you could say about an individual, and yet he just continued to do his job. I mean, I am a pretty sensitive guy. If someone said all those things about me, day in, day out, for 4 years, white supremacist, Nazi, Klans member, it would get to me. I might snap. It really might get to me. And yet, whenever President Trump did lash out at anybody, they said, oh, look at him, look at him. He's unhinged. He's crazy, right? He's delusional. His mental health, you had experts, in quotation marks, coming on to CNN talking about his mental health. He's unfit for office. I mean, again, day in, day out, horrible things about him, his family, his wife. Can you imagine the amount of pressure that he was under day in? Now, some of it granted, right? I have a lot of criticisms for President Trump. But at the same time, the vitriol is what really got me. It was really what turned me off to the whole anti-Trump, never-Trump thing. I couldn't see it. I said, why do you hate this guy so much? He's just president of the United States. How could you hate somebody that much? But now it's all kind of coming full circle. So CNN, again, it's just garbage, but so anchor comes out, Don Lemon comes out, and he made sweeping allegations that Americans who voted for President Donald Trump stood with the Klan and Nazis. This is what he had to say yesterday.
If you are on that side, you need to think about the side you're on. I am never on the side of the Klan. I am never principal people, conservative or liberal, never on the Klan side. Principal people, conservative or liberal, never on the Nazi side. Principal people who are conservative or liberal, never on the side that treats their fellow Americans as less than, that says that your fellow Americans should not exist, that says your fellow Americans should be in a concentration camp, or that sides with slavery, or sides with any sort of bigotry.
Right, and if they say, I don't agree with those people, I just like Trump's policy.
Well, then get out of the crowd with them. Get out of the crowd.
I wasn't in the crowd. I just voted for Trump.
You're in the crowd who voted for Trump. If you voted for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported. You voted for the person who Nazis support. You voted for the person who the alt-right supports. That's the crowd that you are in. You voted for the person who incited a crowd to go into the Capitol and potentially take the lives of lawmakers, took the lives of police officers, took the lives of innocent lives who were there on the Capitol that day. You voted on that side, and the people in Washington are continuing to vote on that side.
This is really gross, right? Really, I don't know why someone would do that. Again, he makes millions of dollars every year. It doesn't matter what he says. He has a contract. He can go out there and he can just say whatever. So I decided to do a little bit of digging because I thought, well, what is he like outside of the camera? What if we peel back the curtain and we get rid of the camera, what's he just like as an individual and as a man? Because I hate rhetoric like that. I have no interest in it. It does nothing for me. It doesn't move me. It's puffery. It's fluff. So I read this about him, and I didn't know this about him whatsoever. But in 2018, his sister passed away tragically. She died drowning. And he was absent for about a week, and then he opened his show on February 6th of 2018, thanking everybody who wished him prayers and words of encouragement. He said that conservatives, like Sean Hannity, were among the first to call, which illustrated how they actually respect each other and have good relations, even though they disagree on the issues. So outside of the nonsense that he just said, outside of the nonsense that he said last night about Klansmen and Nazis and all that other garbage, authenticity. Why not do that? Why? I would have so much more respect for Don Lemon if he framed it like that, if he was a nuanced thinker, if he was a nuanced individual on camera, if he came out and said, hey, you know what, I disagree with the policy, but fundamentally those are all still good people, except for the Nazis and the white supremacists. Those people are all garbage. No one should want anything to do with them. But fundamentally, conservatives, right-leaning people, independents, good people. Why not say that? Why do you have to take the perspective that's going to get everybody all fired up? Everyone keeps accusing President Trump of inciting a riot. There has been incitement coming out of CNN for the last 4 years. So again, Jake Tapper has just been absolutely destroyed today for challenging a disabled veteran, Representative Brian Mast. If you don't know, Brian Mast was an individual who lost both of his legs while fighting for the U.S. Army. And Jake Tapper comes out, and his remarks are just so off base, I can't even describe them. Here's what that sounded like.
Congressman Brian Mast, mm-hmm. a Republican from Florida, who lost his legs, by the way, fighting for democracy abroad. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know about his commitment to it here in the United States. He said, did anybody say that?
Yes.
Yeah, we heard him. Yeah.
The answer is yes. Yes, yes.
I'll give you a quick insight into broadcasting. There's this thing that goes on. It's a phenomenon that I've talked about before. But if you put an idea out into the world that you haven't discussed with somebody else beforehand, or you haven't written about it, or you haven't talked about it, or you haven't really dived into the substance of what you're saying, if you haven't really analyzed it, you're going to say something, you're going to trip up over it, you're going to be hesitant to deliver it. And again, could you just play the first 15 seconds where right to the point where he says whether or not he believes in it? Just play that clip one more time.
Congressman Brian Mast, mm-hmm. a Republican from Florida, who lost his legs, by the way, fighting for democracy abroad. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know about his commitment to it here in the United States.
Ooh, man. So he knows before the words come out of his mouth that is not what you say about someone who lost appendages fighting for the United States. That it's not what you say about a veteran of our armed forces. He knows it. But as it comes out, he goes, oh, no. And finally unfolds. And rightfully so, people are coming down on him. It's been shared something like 2.2 million times today. And people are saying how gross, how absolutely disgusting, how vile of you to come out and say that. Now, Tucker Carlson, you'll remember a couple months ago, he came down on Tammy Duckworth, Senator or Representative Duckworth, and he said that she was a coward for not coming on his show. And I ripped into Carlson like nobody's business. I said, how could you possibly say that? She lost her legs flying in a helicopter for this country. How could you say that about Tammy Duckworth? And I hold Jake Tapper to the same standard. You don't get to attack people like that who have fought for our country. You don't get to question their commitment to the country. You get to disagree with them. You get to say, I disagree with your perceptions on policy. I disagree with the way that you perceive the United States. I disagree with your rhetoric. But you don't get to call their character into question. And yet Jake Tapper feels totally, well, maybe not totally fine doing it. It certainly ended up with egg on his face. I mean, Peyton, have you, just to bring you in real quick, Peyton, that is an awkward thing to say to millions of people, is it not?
Yeah, that's real bad. It's a bad look. You know, anytime you, like you said, he knew those words when they were fleeting out of his mouth that, this might get me in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of thought maybe,
man.
Ooh, it's going to get me some clicks on Twitter, too, and just full send. Full send on it, and that's a bad look.
Brian Mast, by the way, is a Bronze Star Army vet who lost his legs fighting for democracy abroad. Again, you don't tread in those waters. You just don't do that. And what this is one of the things that I constantly call into question. These are people who have multi-million dollar deals. They have multi-million dollar contracts. They have the weight, effectively, of an entire network on their shoulders. And on a daily basis, they blow it. So much so that now CNN is not going to be shown in airports. I was actually going to do an entire good news segment about this, about CNN no longer being shown in airports across the country. Now, the president of the company came out and he said, well, it's from the declining numbers of COVID-19 and the people going out and no one's flying anymore. And so we're not really needed anymore. I think that that's disingenuous. I think that nobody wants to watch it anymore. Their ratings are abysmal. Who wants to watch that kind of news? Who wants to take in that kind of news? Even if you are, let's say that you're a moderate individual, who wants to consume that garbage where they're going after vets, where they're saying people are Nazis and Klansmen and all this other nonsense? No nuance, none whatsoever. no consideration of the other side's opinions, no consideration of new facts, new information coming to light. Nope, the president incited a riot, he associates with Nazis and Klansmen, and the gentleman who lost his legs fighting for our country, he doesn't believe in democracy. Boom, that's CNN for you. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. You gotta take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. How many people you think are going to be, let's just say President Trump runs again in 2024, which he has said that he will do. How many people do you think would vote for him again, if you just had to assume? 60%, 70%, 80%, 91% of Trump voters would vote for him again in 2024. That's a poll from Rasmussen. It's just absolutely amazing. So that's over at Fox News last night on Special Report with Brett Baier. Pollster Frank Lutz revealed a very interesting finding. 91% of 2020 Donald Trump voters would vote for him again in the 2024 election. Here's what that sounded like.
91% of those who voted for Donald Trump on Election Day would vote for him again. And this is a poll that was done on Monday, just 48 hours ago. And it's astounding. And only 5% would switch their vote from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And I got two more numbers for you. 67% believe that if the votes were counted accurately and fairly, Donald Trump would have won. And the most staggering of all, 78% believed that the election was rigged and stolen. So you've got a segment of the American people, a large segment, that do not trust our electoral process and are just so angry that they feel like the country's drifting away from them.
I often think to myself, why is it that people really do love President Trump in a way that no one has loved a president in my life? Why are people, they're just dedicated to the man? And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I don't mean that in a condescending way. It's an interesting thought experiment. Why do people love the guy so much? I think it's because they know what he is. He's got his big Italian suits that he wears. Even if it's 105 degrees outside, he's walking around in his suit. He doesn't do the thing where he takes the suit jacket off and rolls up his sleeves and then has the tie a little bit undone. He doesn't do any of that nonsense. He's got his $5,000 shoes. He's got his pink ties. He's that guy. He orders a steak well done, and he eats it with ketchup. There are lots of people out there who made fun of him for that. They said, that's disgusting. Well, who would order a $50 steak and get it well done and have it with ketchup? Well, there's a lot of people out there growing up whose dads and moms worked really hard, and on Friday or Saturday night, they went out and they got a really cheap cut of meat, and they cooked it well done because it was cheap, and they covered it in ketchup, and that's the way that they ate it. You see, there's an authenticity there that I don't think the Democrats understand, that they have not tapped into. They do all these really heady, really large philosophical concepts, gender-neutral pronouns. They have all these kind of huge, vague things that appeal to a certain section of the society. College-educated, very kind of left, liberal-minded people. They appeal to them through that philosophy. But fundamentally, you have to appeal to people on a very personal level. And say what you want about President Trump, he does that. And as a matter of fact, we'll play this again. Here's Trump's, during the riot, this is Trump again telling people to calm down and to go home peacefully. I think this is a good indicator as to why people love him so much. Here's what that sounded like.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election. But we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
He doesn't talk like a politician. I think that's what it is fundamentally. Even when he's talking to the camera, he's talking to you like you're right there. and he's got all these flaws, right? He's got the bad tan, he's got the bad hair, but he doesn't care. He just kind of keeps pushing through. So all of the things that we're told that we're supposed to care about, again, the bad hair and the bad tan and the steak, and he's a germaphobe and he's kind of a narcissist, we don't care about any of that. I certainly don't care about any of that. We're supposed to, oh, he's been married 3 times. I don't care. All these things that we're supposed to be so, oh, clutch our pearls at, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me whatsoever. So I think that's why people care so much about the president. Again, people love the man. I don't see that with Barack Obama. I don't see that with the Clintons. I don't see that with George Bush. I mean, the last time I think anybody could say that people really loved a politician in that same way might have been Ronald Reagan, because he was kind of a legacy individual. He was in movies, became governor of California, president of the United States. People had a relationship with him. And I think people have a relationship with Donald Trump, which is why now, when we hear about this movement trying to remove him from Home Alone 2, we laugh at it. We say, what are you stupid? You're going to cut out Donald Trump from that movie? The movie takes place in the Trump Hotel. What are you? Is it mad? What are you, insane? You're going to try to rewrite history just because Donald Trump shows up in a movie for all of, what, 17 seconds? So ask yourself, why is it that people love the president that much? And they appreciate the president that much. But then people despise someone like Ted Wheeler. So Ted Wheeler the other day, he comes out and he was asked about his failure to respond to BLM and Antifa riots and how he set a bad precedent. This is his response. It's golden. Here's what that sounds like.
But just 3 weeks ago, protesters broke into the Oregon State Capitol. I have heard people at these protests elsewhere saying, well, they let it happen in Portland, so why not do it here? It seems in some way the actions of these small groups that you're referring to have set the stage for what has happened on a state level and potentially a national level. I know you said it will take time to crack down on these groups, but do we have that time?
Are you blaming me for what happened at the U.S. Capitol? I don't buy that premise at all.
Do you hear that? I mean, the disdain in his voice, condescending, unlikable, unrelatable. Just that he just hates the idea that he had been even asked that question. So again, why do people love Donald Trump? Because he doesn't do stuff like that. I've heard him be terse with people. I've heard him be rude with people. I've never heard him condescend to anybody. Even when he threw Jim Acosta out, you remember him at the press conference when he threw Jim Acosta out? He wasn't being condescending. He said, "Get out. You're not welcome here anymore." And that's going to be my thesis. And so when people come up to me and they say, well, Jack, why do you think people are so attracted to the president? It's because he's authentic. He just is who he is. And he's a kind of I wouldn't say damaged, but he is certainly an imperfect individual. And he's not giving us the illusion of being this perfect individual. I saw a picture of Nancy Pelosi from about 6 or 7 years ago, and she looks like a very attractive older woman. I know that's a weird sentence, Peyton, to come out of my mouth, but
incredibly
she looks like a very
weird. Nobody in the history has ever uttered that about Nancy Pelosi.
Hear me out. Before she got all the Botox and before she got all the surgery, she was a normal looking, dare I say, attractive looking individual. But now she's got the face totally pulled back, totally Botox to the max, and I think, where is this illusion coming where you're trying to look like you're 25 years old when you're 80 years old? It's okay to be an older woman. We appreciate authenticity. Donald Trump's got a comb over. Not that big of a deal. You can age gracefully. It's totally fine. Talk to Dianne Feinstein about that. Another story I wanted to get to really quickly.
Look, man, just say that you're into Nancy Pelosi and we can just
leave it. I'll come out. I'll say it. All right. I'm into Nancy Pelosi. Is that what you want from me?
Yes. That's exactly what I wanted.
You're going to twist my wrist about it. I'll just come out and say it. I have the hots for Nancy Pelosi. There you go. I said it. Jack Stein, 770 KTTH. I'll say it again. So the attack on the Capitol was partially coordinated on Twitter. Will Apple, Google, and Amazon ban it now? This fascinated me because we all heard that the attack on the Capitol was coordinated on Parler. Matter of fact, not so much. Not so much. Mostly done on Twitter, again, and on Facebook. So is Apple, Google, and Amazon going to stand up and say, well, Twitter is a dangerous outlet? Twitter is one of the most, because they allowed people to coordinate an attack on the Capitol on their platform, something like 100,000 people using the same hashtag. All the evidence is there, but instead we blame Parler, this little startup, this little tiny organization, something like 3.5 million people using it. Certainly not as much as Twitter. Now, again, is anything going to come down? No, but this is another example of the double standard. Is anybody going to cover this? No, other than Jack Stein. This is the way it should be. right? If we're going to totally demolish a company like Parler over nonsense allegations, shouldn't we hold Twitter to the same standard? This will never happen, but this is why I'm saying we have to create new spaces. We have to create new spaces for individuals to go who want to engage in free-thinking ideas and not have to worry about censorship. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We got to take a real quick break. Tony Two Cents says he just threw up in his mouth. Thanks, Jack. Sorry about that, buddy. Take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. I'm Jack Stein, sitting in for Mr. Rantz this afternoon. I got a story that just came in, and I love it. I love every part of it. So Dave Bautista is a wrestler. Am I saying that right, Peyton? Bautista?
Yeah. Dave Bautista.
Okay. So he is offering a $20,000 bounty for maggots. That's M-A-G-A-T-S, who defaced a manatee. So a bunch of losers went out and they harmed an animal. And it's a totally gross crime. And Dave Bautista goes on to talk about how, oh, it's as if Twitter is becoming real life. And look at these people who defaced an animal for a dictator. I'll tell you a really short story. Long time ago, there was a gentleman. His name is Ted Deutsch. And he had this idea to make animal cruelty a federal crime. He had this idea. So he pens the bill and he puts it in front of Obama. Obama doesn't sign it, right? So this has been a bipartisan effort for quite some time. President Trump comes along a couple years ago. He says, yeah, I'll sign it. Signs it that day. Boom. Animal cruelty, federal crime. Thank you to Ted Deutsch. Thank you to President Trump. So Dave Bautista should actually be thanking President Trump for making the crime that was committed a federal offense. So, so he's railing against the president and he's saying how this dictator, this horrible individual is encouraging these people to do these kinds of actions by defacing a manatee. How could he possibly do such a thing? This is what I mean when I talk about low information individuals, low information voters, that they don't have the time, or let us say the effort or the motivation to do just a little bit of research to so that you would know what you're talking about. Just look into it just a little bit so you would have that information. So he, again, Dave Bautista is just going nuts on Twitter. $20,000 to find these people. I'm all for it. Me and Dave Bautista on the same page. And I will also say thank you, President Trump, for making animal cruelty a federal federal crime. In the same way, by the way, that he made it, he increased sentencing guidelines for people who desecrate federal monuments, much like the rioters who went into the rotunda. So why does he not get any credit for that whatsoever? Again, I need to make a shirt, Peyton, that says not a Trump guy, because I just need people to understand. Jack Stein did not vote for the man, but I find myself constantly in the man's corner, because I'm not a fool. I'm not going to try to do this thing that other people do where they try to distance themselves from somebody just because they're controversial and they say silly things from time to time. And granted, the man is worth a lot of criticism, but certainly not this impeachment effort that's currently going on. So Senator Tom Cotton has come out and he has said that impeachment trial after Trump leaves office is unconstitutional. So this is the third or fourth time I've heard this. There's this idea that the Senate is going to meet on the 20th and they're going to vote to impeach the president. There's going to be this trial. It's going to be this huge ordeal. But I've heard from different legal theorists, different legal scholars, that this can't happen whatsoever. So Cotton goes on to say that the House has passed an article of impeachment against the president, but the Senate, under its rules and precedents, cannot start and conclude a fair trial before the president leaves office next week. Under these circumstances, the Senate lacks constitutional authority to conduct impeachment proceedings against a former president. The senator added, the founders designed the impeachment process as a way to remove office holders from public office, not an inquest into private citizens. The Constitution presupposes an office from which an impeached office holder can be removed. Again, this is all for show. I think the Democrats know this. I think they know fundamentally that this is not going to go through. There's no way that Mitch McConnell is going to be able to put together, not even Mitch McConnell, there's no way you're going to flip 16, 17 Republicans to impeach the man. Moreover, let's say they even tried it. Think about when it gets to the Supreme Court. Think about when this takes place, when President Trump says, I am now being harassed by the federal government. I am no longer the president of the United States, and yet I am being harassed by the federal government. The fallout from this would be immense. It would be so intense. So don't be fooled by this idea that, oh, he's going to be impeached afterwards. This is some kind of weird, some far leftist dream where they didn't get to march Trump out in handcuffs. He said that he was going to leave. He didn't do the thing where he said, well, I'm not going to leave and I'm going to start a military. Well, he hasn't done it yet, but he didn't do any of the stuff that they told us that he was going to do. Remember this? We were told that he was going to say, no, I'm not leaving. I'm never going to leave. You're going to have to build a military force to take me out of here. That's what we were told, right? Now he's saying, okay, I'll go. As a matter of fact, you can go online right at this very moment and you can find pictures of the president's things being packed out of the White House. It's a very sad sight, but you can go and you can see it. He is leaving. There is no reason to do this impeachment whatsoever. And anybody that says otherwise is either stupid, they are lying, or they're being disingenuous. And I haven't decided which is which at this point in time. Most people, if I had to guess, they're just being disingenuous. And this is an attempt yet again to take a dig at the man that they hate so very much. This is a kind of vitriolic, really vile attempt to do another dig at a guy who has lost. And as I said in the last segment, think of what he has gone through for the last 4 years. That he's a Russian puppet, that he doesn't actually care about the country, that all of his businesses are failing. All these terrible, awful things made of aspersions about his wife, about his kids. And yet, what has he done? Truly, can you point to something that's really, truly very egregious? Can you think of, and I'm happy to take all answers, the most egregious thing that he has said. A lot of people point to the locker room talk that he said in the what was it? He was in some van with Billy Bush and they were talking about women and grabbing them. Yeah, that's really gross. It's really disgusting. A lot of people point to the fact that he said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and people would still vote for me. Yeah, that's pretty gross. That's pretty disgusting. But what has he said truly like recently that has been so vile, so bad, so awful? I can't think of it. And I'm happy to take, if you have an example, by the way, in the text line, if you want to give me an example, I'm happy to read it on air. I think what we should be focusing on is the next 4 years, 2022, 2024. We shouldn't be focused on President Trump at this point in time, because again, he will be leaving in, what is it now? Six, as a matter of fact. He will be gone. He's going to go down to Mar-a-Lago. He's going to go golfing. He'll probably start his own news network, maybe his own internet company. Who knows? Sky's the limit. But he might go work for Mike Lindell, My Pillows. He's just going to go about the rest of his life. But when is it going to be enough? Are we supposed to destroy the rest of his life now? I mean, the DA in New York is supposed to be coming after him with forensic auditors, and he's supposed to. It seems to me that someone who was against the establishment found their way in the establishment, and everybody who was in the establishment for decades was tearing their hair out on a daily basis, that this outsider somehow walked into the party. Someone did an analysis of the president, actually, and they were trying to make the conclusion that Trump's mental state comes from the fact that his family was new money in New York, that he wasn't old New York money. And because of that, that he had this complex that he was constantly trying to make up, that he was constantly trying to appear as if he was better than other people, that he this bravado, right? I don't see it that way. I see it as a guy who's probably been an outsider most of his life, who was friends and rubbing elbows with the Clintons, who was kind of this brash, kind of America's weird uncle for many years. He's got The Apprentice, where he fires people, kind of awkward, and then he decides to run for president, and everyone was tearing their hair out. How could this guy possibly get in there? And then he runs the country, and everything's going pretty good. And so what do we have to attack him on? Well, he's a racist, he's a bigot, all that kind of language. And now he's done. You won, Democrats. What more could you want? If I could talk to Pelosi, I would say, please drop this. Please just drop this whole charade. It's no longer interesting. So Representative Marjorie Greene is actually coming out, and she says that she will file for impeachment against Joe Biden on the first day of his presidency in order to avoid violence. I can't tell if she's trolling. I can't tell if this is again, just politicking. I really can't tell what her intentions are. I haven't heard her voice. But again, she's a newly elected Republican representative, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's from Georgia. And she announced yesterday that she would be filing articles of impeachment against President-elect Joe Biden on the first full day of his presidency. She made the announcement during an interview on Newsmax. Probably not the best place for her to do that. But she comes out and she said, I would like to announce on behalf of the American people, we have to make sure that our leaders are held accountable. We cannot have a president of the United States that is willing to abuse the power of the office of the presidency and be easily bought off by foreign governments, foreign Chinese energy companies, Ukraine energy companies. That's what she said. The weird thing is that she's exactly right. She and I, so this is why I'm starting to think that she's completely genuine about this. She's exactly right. So all of the things that we accused Trump of being, right? And by we, I mean the royal we. All of the things that people accuse President Trump of being, Joe Biden is those things. Empirically, what was going on in Ukraine, what was going on with Burisma. If you don't believe it, it's all there. It's all out on the internet. You can find, you go to his Wikipedia page, read all about it. You can read all about Hunter Biden. You can read all about the deals. It is out there. And so she's coming out with the exact same complaints. Will it get any traction? I don't think so. So she says on January 21st, I will be filing articles of impeachment on Joe Biden. And I laugh because it is so ironic that the most criminal individual that I could think of in American politics is going to be president in the next coming up in just a couple of days. But it's tough because you don't want to get people all fired up. You don't want to see what happened on the 6th happen again. I certainly don't want to see that. What I do want to see happen is for the base to mobilize and for 2022 to come around, and we vote and we vote and we vote and we make convincing arguments to people. We use evidence-based arguments. We are patient and kind with people, even when they are vitriolic and cruel. We don't have hate in our hearts, and we try to make compelling arguments with facts and evidence. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rance. We got to take a real quick break. When we get back, we're going to answer some text messages and wrap this up. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rance this afternoon. Text messages. Tacoma Jim says, I was against rioting before it was cool to be against rioting. So I posted several times over the summer. Mobs are great so long as it's your mob, not so great when it's not your mob. I completely agree with that. Again, I think that mob at the Capitol, that was just so gross. And I kept thinking to myself, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to do there? And if you're going to go down the QAnon rabbit hole, that's where you end up. I just have no sympathy for those people whatsoever. I wouldn't want someone to do that to my home. I wouldn't want someone to do that to my private business. I railed against it all summer long. And yet you see the people who I'm sure would condemn riots equally if it happened in their neighborhood, and yet they decide to do it at the Capitol. And yeah, so I agree with you, Tacoma Jim. I was against rioting before it was cool to be against rioting again. Kelly texted, and we were talking about the media is kind of skipping over this, but if you look at the timeline of events that happened at the Capitol, there was a group at the Ellipse watching President Trump's speech, and there was another group at the Capitol who was there not watching the president speak. And they were separated by about a mile and a half, and we were talking about how long that would take. Kelly says about a fast pace is about a 20-minute walk, moderate walk at 30 minutes on average. Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's no way that Trump said, we're all going to go down there peacefully and show them what for, and then 30 minutes later, all of a sudden the riot breaks out. The timeline doesn't match up. So when media, and even when the House is coming out and they're saying, well, Trump incited a riot, the timeline doesn't match up whatsoever. 206 says, long term, looking forward, sure, no problem. No more Republicans. T Trump party. I think it's the Tea Party. But there have been some people on forums, on the internet, on Reddit, and they are talking about walking away from the GOP and having something like an America First or a MAGA party that has updated its credentials. Because the GOP, again, is operating almost on this 2008-2009 mode of politics, and people are tired of it, especially when they look at something like the NDAA, and the Republicans say that they are the party of fiscal conservatism, and you just blow out the budget every single year with the National Defense Authorization Act, totally, completely. I think it might be time. I think it might be time for either the GOP to say, listen, we got to start breaking bread with libertarians and independents. Otherwise, we're just going to keep losing. Otherwise, this is not going to go well for us. They have to update their criteria, because if you keep doing this thing where you say that you are the party of fiscal conservatism and then you allow something like that to happen, people don't believe you anymore. 206 as well sends in, we need to stop calling these hate groups the radical left and call them by their real names, communists and socialists. I would say, yeah, I'm much more apt to call many of these people communists than socialists, because generally a socialist is an individual who's dealing in the theoretical realm, and they're dealing in this idea of universal health care. They're working with these ideas of, that's pretty much fundamentally it. They're talking about health care. They're talking about services for everybody. The kind of the socialist model, tons of money for schools, tons of money for hospitals. But I would say if you're looking at who would really commit egregious acts of violence, the majority of Antifa are going to classify themselves as something they like to call anarcho-communists. They view themselves as being kind of back to nature individuals, where we get rid of things like Starbucks and iPhones, and we go back to being in these nature-like communes where we're picking grapes and living in cabins, and we get away from the modern world. That's the goal of the anarcho-communist. And they certainly don't enjoy someone like Joe Biden. I think this is what the Democrats don't understand, is these really far left individuals, they don't like Joe Biden. They don't like Nancy Pelosi. They don't like Kamala Harris. They don't like AOC. They are on a completely different wavelength when it comes to political thought. Tom Kaye wrote in, by the way, and he actually corrected me. It's an important correction to make. He said, the Senate doesn't impeach. The House of Representatives has already impeached President Trump. The Senate votes to either convict or to exonerate based on the articles of impeachment voted on by the House. Thank you very much for that, Tom Kaye. I appreciate you taking the time to do that in real time correction. Peyton, I don't think a lot of people realize one man carrying the weight of the Jason Rantz show. Sometimes you could do a little slip up. Sometimes you might say something, you might mix up phrases, you might mix up words, especially if you have a crippling anxiety like myself. What say you, Peyton?
You know, it happens. It happens. 3 hours. There's a lot of words to be said around 3 hours, and, you know, God forbid you mess up one of those words. So, yeah, you know. The people can cut you a little slack. You got a difficult job on your hands over there.
I appreciate it, though, Tom Kaye, and it is an important distinction to make. 206 says, nice work on air today. Just because an action is believed to be unconstitutional, has that ever stopped Pelosi, Schumer, or the Dems? No, but it will not pass in the Senate. I will be amazed if a bunch of Republicans flip. I will be totally amazed, because it would be political suicide. You would, I mean, do you think that Liz Cheney is going to be around in the next election cycle? Do you think that she has a future in American politics over the next 4 to 8 years? I don't see it. I think that a lot of people are going to be looking at what happened. And if any of these people try to get out of their district, if they try to go at the state level, what's going to happen? Their opposition, if they get primary, if there's a primary, they're going to say, you were against the president. You were against the party. And now you're trying to come up here and tell us that you're going to hold all these same ideals as the people? No. Again, people love President Trump. Love. I don't say that in a hyperbolic way. People love the man, and they are very, very loyal to the man. And so people will remember people like Liz Cheney, who again has gone around and said, I'm the third most ranking Republican in the House, and I'm coming out because I find this language to be absolutely abhorrent, and that's why I support impeachment. That was political suicide. I would have advised her against that as much as I would have said, don't do that, Liz Cheney. You are going to end your political career in a second when you come out and you make that decision. And she should have known better than that. Kelly Texan says, don't forget the lies last fall where he supposedly called members of the military suckers and losers. Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second. I don't buy the guy who updated the entire system of the VA and decided to pump more funding into it. I don't see him calling members of the military suckers and losers. I'm Jack Stein. I've been filling in for Jason Rantz. I will be back tomorrow. If you want to check out more of my content, Human Genius is the YouTube channel. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.